You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Calling all men. When was the last time you had a really good cry? A recent survey found that women cry on average 5 times a month, while men cry on average only once a month. Studies have shown that crying can support your mental, your physical, and your emotional health. I'm Radhi Devlukia, and on my podcast, A Really Good Cry, we embrace the real, the messy, and the beautiful. Listen to A Really Good Cry on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Weezy out.
Welcome to the Friday Fun Show. Working title. Dan Hansis with Mark Sessler and Greg Rosenthal. From across the Southland and across America, all the way to the Jersey Shore. Welcome to our live stream episode of the week as we get ready for week 7. We see the message board, the commenters already firing off, getting pumped up. And we will be reaching out and connecting with the listeners early on. Mark, I know this is your favorite show of the week for so many reasons, including this week It's About Me will be about you, and it is about you, and you love that.
I do. I like the spotlight focused directly on me at all times for both positive and negative news.
I didn't know that this was a thing that Mark pretended that he didn't like the spotlight. This is like a new 2022 trend. I don't understand.
I feel like this has been an important week. Mark has often come at you and me, Greg, for saying we seek attention in the spotlight, but Mark's always been one of us, and now the monster within is coming above the surface of the water.
Well, this is it's an absurd way to get into the show here. I have a question for you, Dan, because I'm tracking this heavily. What did your mother make you for breakfast? We got yesterday's eggs with onion and paprika, I think you said.
Like, what? That's very good.
What happened today?
We have so much to get to, including a blockbuster trade, but this is important as well. Yesterday, yes, eggs, onions and eggs with some paprika. Today, we're down at the Jersey Shore. I went to the local coffee shop I love, Turnstile. I got a nice latte, I got an almond croissant, and I watched the Thursday night football game. I was tied up with the Yankees failing in Houston last night, so I got caught up, prepped for this show, and this is where we are. Very excited to get into today's show, boys, because we got so much going on. We have the Thursday night football recap between the Cards and the Saints. We have Rachel Bonetta joining us in just a little bit, one of our favorites. We have It's About Me with Mark Sessler. We have an injury update ahead of Sunday's games. And some fearless predictions. But first, yes, the huge blockbuster trade that went down late at the end of Thursday Night Football kind of came out. The San Francisco 49ers sending second, third, and fourth round picks in 2023 and a fifth round pick in 2024 to the Panthers for star running back Christian McCaffrey. Adam Schefter broke it. It's official. It's a done deal. So McCaffrey, the former offensive player of the year, the former 1,000 receiving, 1,000 rushing running back, now joins a San Francisco offense that obviously got a lot more dynamic with a big trade. Here is GM of the Panthers, Scott Fitterer, when asked by, well, actually, let's hold on Scott talking about what's going on with the Panthers. Let's focus, starting, Greg, with the 49ers, a team that we were just talking about on Thursday's show. Is this offense explosive enough? Is Jimmy G put a cap on what they can do? Well, you add a guy like McCaffrey, it just got a lot more feisty.
Yeah, I mean, it's an all-in move. And I think it's interesting in this season in context of the Rams and how well Jimmy Garoppolo and their passing attack has been. In the past, we always think like, oh, the running game's kind of carrying the 49ers offense. Jimmy G's along for the ride. This year, they're 7th in passing DVOA. And they're always solid. They're always efficient. They're 26th in running. They haven't been able to get the running game going. Like, Shanahan's lost his magic a little bit because of all the injuries and personnel and offensive line. And McCaffrey fixes all that. And I think they look at this offense and they look at this defense, if they can get healthy, and they say, like, we're one of the Super Bowl contenders this year. And I think they look at it in the context of the Rams, the moves that the Rams have made to try to push them over the top. And they got their Super Bowl a year ago. And who was the other team in the mix, according to our friend Jordan Rodrigue of The Athletic, pushing hard for Christian McCaffrey? It was the Los Angeles Rams.
Of course.
And I think that's why they had to pay so much. Scott Fitter, you'll get to it, mentioned he thought this was equivalent of a first round pick, getting a second and what was it, two thirds and a fourth ultimately, that, or a second, third, and a fourth. He's right. That is equivalent to a first round pick. They got a totally fair value, a nice value for McCaffrey. It's a big risk for the 49ers, but no one's going to care if they make the Super Bowl. And that's kind of the bar now. If they don't make the Super Bowl, this was not a in the next 2 years or win the Super Bowl, this is going to be a bust.
I mean, I think if you look at what the Niners have done over the last couple seasons, the move for Trey Lance, and it's not worked out to date, but had it, the reason they did it was they viewed themselves back then as a player away from being Super Bowl gold. I mean, they got to the Super Bowl with Jimmy G, but it's like a true quarterback would take us over the top. All right, they're going to sit with Jimmy G, but again, they say in this environment, in the NFC that we're in right now, where again, we've talked about this all day yesterday on our preview show, it's such a watered down league right now. There's really very few dominant teams out there. And the Niners probably look at Christian McCaffrey and say, once again, he's the guy that can put us over the top, especially when you think about how do you attack the teams we're going to face in January, the Eagles, a team like the Eagles that's stacked on defense. Christian McCaffrey is the guy that can change all that. And we always praise, you know, Belichick's Patriots and days of old for having such versatile players. I mean, if you think about McCaffrey and Deebo Samuel, I think they look at the two of them and say, there's no combination of players who can do slot, wide receiver, running back, they can do it all. Like those guys, you throw in Brandon Ayuk, Kyle Juszczyk, George Kittle, and if Jimmy G keeps the mistakes down and you have a top three defense that gets healthier and the line gets healthier, the Niners have a right to view themselves as the team to beat in the NFC because the Rams have fallen off a cliff, and it really comes down to the Philadelphia Eagles, I think.
Well, it hits double hard for the Niners and their fans in terms of celebration, because you're in love with the upside of this trade and you stick it to the Rams, who I think we're getting into this place where we are in the football world now, where you're going to assume they're always going to be the team that pulls off the big deal. So you finally got a guy that the Rams wanted. And yeah, Deebo, Ayuk, Kittle, CMC, that's a great recipe for Kyle Shanahan to give us, go full Shanahan. Who was it that rushed for 200 yards and four touchdowns against the Packers in the NFC title game a couple years back? Was that Mostert?
That was Mostert, I believe, yeah.
You now have the type of running back in McCaffrey who could deliver a game like that if the stars are aligned and you put the San Francisco offense in a place where, yes, there's still not going to be a deep strike, big play attack in a traditional sense, because Jimmy G puts a cap on that somewhat. But if you trust Shanahan's ability to call plays and get the most out of a running back like CMC, this is exciting. Now, the reason why they had to give up so much in terms of draft capital is you are trading for the idea of CMC from a couple of years ago. And also the idea this is not a rental. He's due an outrageous amount of money next year that you would think there might be a restructure to make it all work for San Francisco's books. But I don't think they do this trade unless there's an understanding. And I know the McCaffreys and the Shanahans go way back. So all of this makes sense. However, and it's a big however.
It's a big one.
McCaffrey can't stay healthy. And the San Francisco 49ers are a snake-bitten team with health. Now, I don't think it makes him more risky at risk for injury because now he's a 49er. That would be stupid. But at the same time, we need to see McCaffrey in this offense and stay healthy, because if he gets hurt, they're kind of right back to where they started.
The one thing I'd say, though, I think one of the reasons the Rams were very into McCaffrey, beyond just the idea of what he could do for their offense and would fill a void for them, they just played him. And they just saw him, and he looks like the old McCaffrey. I mean, I think he's also been healthy this season. He's been great. And so that's where that bidding war came from, I think, on one level, was like they saw him up close and personal and thought, this guy could change our offense. So it is a huge win for the Niners on that front. And I would just say the only thing is, like, Shanahan's never had a 1,000-yard rusher in this Niners offense. Which is kind of crazy, because he's probably, you know, it's always been a committee and these guys are getting hurt left and right. The only thing about it, like, that I kind of view as a bit excessive is that I don't know if Shanahan in most of his years needed McCaffrey to have a great running game. He hasn't. Right. He's turned Jeff Wilson into that guy. So, I mean, it's a bit of a luxury, but I love the idea of, like, if you're going to go for it, if this is your window, you're not going to have Jimmy G next year. You don't know what Trey Lance is. Do it now. I like that. I like the risk-taking, daring-do element of the whole thing.
I'm with you on that too, Mark. I think it's a big swing for the fences by the Niners. Love the trade. On the Carolina side of things, Greggy, I know you love to nerd out on this stuff. It's interesting to me how we've talked about how the Panthers have tried and tried and tried to make a big splash in recent years, and the fates have just not aligned. And I thought this is interesting. Even this trade, where they had this guy that was a generational talent at running back when healthy, and a market with two Super Bowl contenders, and the two teams at the forefront were missing the one thing that the Panthers really wanted. Here's GM Scott Fitterer talking about the trade market and clearly referring to the 49ers, yes, but also the Rams.
But we talked to the teams. You know, a couple of teams didn't have first-round picks, you know, that we thought, you know, in that area was probably the right area for Christian with regarding everything. So they complicated it, that there wasn't a first-round pick to be had. So we had to figure out what's the equivalent of a first-round pick if that's the case.
Just, Greg, kind of a bummer for the Panthers that, yes, the Rams traded their first-round pick, as they always do, so it wasn't there. And Trey Lance, that trade led to no first-round pick for San Francisco.
It is a bummer, yet I if I'm a Panthers fan, I'm pretty happy about this trade. I'm not happy where the franchise is, and I'm not happy the Christian McCaffrey thing hasn't worked out. But to get off this contract and get three mid-round picks and then another fifth feels good. Like he's
yeah,
gonna...
but before the season, Greggy, if you would have told Panthers fans you're going to trade McCaffrey a week and a half before the deadline and you won't get a first round pick, they would not be happy with that.
Well, that's totally fair, because it would indicate that their season has gone totally haywire. But I think the trade compensation, just in a vacuum, was pretty good for a running back. If anything, it makes the crazy contract that they gave Christian McCaffrey, which people were like, don't pay running backs like that, feel a little better, because you got all these picks back. I mean, ultimately, you did get something out of him. And one thing I do want to say, just on the financial side, people have kind of looked at it like, oh, McCaffrey's worth so much. And Warren Sharp sent out a tweet that had all the cap numbers wrong because he put like the signing bonus into the cap numbers, and the Panthers already paid that signing bonus. They're just eating that dead cap. He's under contract pretty cheaply, I think, fairly, for the next 3 years, $11, $12, and $12 million cap number. I don't think they have to change his contract at all. He's still one of the higher paid running backs in the league, but it's not outrageous, I don't think, for a guy like McCaffrey. And they got these yak bros, and I include McCaffrey in that mix, together for a while. So it's not just a one-year move. I think they should have Debo, Ayuk, who's on his rookie deal, Kittle, who's under contract. That should be the pass catching, I'm going to run for 50 yards when Jimmy G drops it off 5 yards core for a little while, which is nice.
I would also say, I mean, they you can say you want multiple first round picks. I want a
lot
of
things. They were never getting that.
I don't get everything I want, and neither were the Panthers going to get everything they wanted here. That was pie in the sky. To trade him now when there's just this distinct need with a couple teams that thought he is the final piece, they got more than they would have gotten trying to trade him in the offseason. I just believe that. I think it would have been, this is about as much as they could have asked for. They're in a tough position. Also, I think part of it is, where are you going to be with Christian McCaffrey next season at this time or the year after? They're a rebuilding team that has no idea who their quarterback is. Christian McCaffrey does not fit into that offense right now.
All right, let's check in with the listeners streaming live on the Friday Fun Show working title about this big trade. Let's check. What do you got? Where is Gravedigger? Gravedigger?
Whoa.
Hey, buddy.
Got it. Hey, how's it going? The Soap Bottles wants to know, will the Panthers go scorched earth and trade everything not nailed down now?
Well, Fitterer was asked about that, and he said, this is not a rebuild. We're trying to win, but get out of here with that.
I mean, that's absurd.
Sometimes you just wish that there would be just honesty from the GM that's like, listen, our plan, it has not worked out. We're trying to get this thing right, and we didn't want to trade CMC. He's a foundational piece, or we thought he was, but we got to take a different approach here. And yeah, we're building for tomorrow. Just say that. Why not?
Yeah, it depends on the players, though. You know, I think they're putting DJ Moore, for instance, in a different bucket, that like we still need to keep young players that we have under contract that are good. They might not want to trade him. If someone comes in over the top rope for Brian Burns and offers a first, and to me, he would probably have more value than Christian McCaffrey. I would think they would have to listen to that, but I think they'll play a little harder to get with the rest of their roster. They have already picked up four or five picks here between him and Robbie Anderson. That's not bad.
Yeah. What else we got, Gravedigger?
All right, I'm going to throw two at you that are related. The first one, Eric Boogie. Will CMC start and get a majority of the touches for San Francisco at running back this week?
Only one man has that answer. It's Mark Sessler. What's part two?
I have both Debo and CMC, but as Niners on my team now, do I trade one or keep both? See, I also have Christian McCaffrey in a fantasy league. What the heck do I do this week?
Stack him.
Yeah.
I think we're going to see him this weekend. I don't think that it's not, you know, you're not asking him to come in and play quarterback in a scheme he's never heard about. I mean, this is a running back. I think they've already talked about red zone kind of thing. This was my lock, the Chiefs. I am reserving the right to rethink that lock because elements have changed. The weather has changed. You'd have to
agree because
they said red zone, but I bet it's one of those things that he gets into the game a little bit and then they feel like they can't resist just playing him more and more. You definitely can't sit him in fantasy, by the way, Graver. Like, even if he only played 25, 30 snaps, I feel like you got to play Christian McCaffrey.
Because I would have put DeAndre Hopkins in, but
I'm going to highlight this one. Aaron Castillo, sharp as a tack. I think Dan essentially acted as Fitterer's puppet by stating exactly what Fitterer would say for him without him having to do it. He got me. Fitterer got me. He put his hand right up me and turned me into a puppet.
Oh, my goodness.
Sorry, Aaron.
By the way, Scott
so
Fitterer,
hard there.
Probably not long for that job, I suspect. Which is a weird thing. He's making these trades, and I kind of don't expect him to be there next
year.
That's
a good point, and that did cross my mind as well this morning, Greggy. Like, you always run the risk of holding on to a guy too long, especially somebody like CMC who's struggling to stay healthy. But maybe that's a piece that the next guy gets. But, I mean, there's just so much stuff going on with this organization. Aaron Jaffe, is CMC to the Niners the biggest running back trade of the decade?
I would say Trent Richardson got a first.
Richardson was bigger, actually. I mean, he wasn't a bigger star, but it was more surprising, and he got more. Of course, there was the Herschel Walker trade. Herschel Walker, famous now for other reasons, but he used to be famous for setting up that Cowboys dynasty.
Well, that wasn't
I don't think
this
is
going to
set up a Panthers dynasty.
Now he's famous for having a clear-eyed look into the future of America.
How about Marshawn Lynch? That was a big trade, although at the time people really thought he was used goods and that it wasn't that big of a deal, but they got a lot for him when they traded him from the Bills to the Seahawks.
Somebody makes a good point.
The way the question is phrased, wouldn't it actually be just from 2020 to now?
We're talking about 1989.
I got one for you. David Johnson for DeAndre Hopkins.
So I'm going to go ahead and say yes. This has been the biggest trade of the decade. One more, then we're going to get Rachel in. Eric Boogie again. The boogeyman is having a big Halloween season.
He's got good questions.
Are we entering a golden era for NFL trades? Oh, this has got Greggy written all over it. Why is trading so much more prevalent than it was just a few years ago?
Well, I got to say, the trade tsunami was slightly ahead of its time, but the trade tsunami I predicted from 4 or 5 years ago has hit. It's because it's easier to get people under the cap now. Like, the cap is so high. I think they structure these trades, contracts in a way that just makes it easier for people to trade and move money into the future, and people aren't that close to the cap all the time. It's a beautiful thing. It makes the NFL much more interesting.
You know what else is a beautiful thing? This world that we live in at NFL Media, where this woman now counts as a colleague. Joining us now, she's got bangs, Rachel Bonetta.
Let's not make a big thing about it, okay?
Head to our YouTube.
Doing fine mentally. That's all you need to know. Okay.
Is that a thing? Is there a correlation with women getting bangs with some type of
1,000%. So I've gotten so many messages like, "Are you doing okay?" I called my mom and she just said, "Oh, sweetie."
Well, what is that shirt you're wearing, Rach?
I wore this for you.
That's a beautiful throwback New York Jets green sweatshirt.
This is also a good luck charm, my friend. I wore this right before I think they played the Browns, or I bought this before they played the Browns. Beat them, no problem.
Interesting. No change their season on that one. All right, welcome back to Bangs with Bonetta. thank you, Jason Joseph, for that. So, Rach, we're going to get into a bunch of things, but we're going to start now by transitioning to the Thursday night football recap. You ready to hit that hard?
I'm ready to rock.
Let's do
ready
it.
Ready to hit it at a mediocre pace.
We'll be right back.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower, 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Dalton straight drop back, throws over the middle, and a one-handed interception by Isaiah Simmons in midfield. Runs it back to the left of the 40, at the 30, at the 25, at the 20, and Simmons in, back-to-back. Interception returns for touchdowns by the Cardinals at the end of the half. The third pick thrown by Andy Dalton, and the Cardinals defense with takeaways, turning them directly into scores.
How about that? As Mark exits the shot, tries to get back into the shot in time, but fails.
Totally fails.
Marco Wilson and Isaiah Simmons score touchdowns on pick sixes within a minute of each other late in the first half. And it was the driver for the Cardinals in a 42-34 win over the Saints. And the Cardinals improved to 3-4. It's the first time they've won in their building in a year.
Yuck.
And for the Saints, we're going to get to the Saints because we talked a lot about the Saints in the summer, and it's time to re-examine that situation. Rach, let me start with you on this one, because when you were kind enough to join us in London on stage to talk about the figures in the NFL that fascinate you, Kyler Murray was one of those figures. And this was another spotlight game with people paying attention, not just to the game, but what's going on with the Arizona operation. And I think people will remember this game for two things: the double pick six by Dalton.
Sure. Yep.
Only one's his fault. And then the Kyler Murray sideline, I don't know, altercation feels strong, Cliff Kingsbury, but he ran up to his coach racially and said, calm down. What do you think about this game for the Cardinals?
I think there was a few more words in that sentence, by the way. Yeah, I don't think it was just calm down. I think there was a few more things.
And then he kept going.
Your thoughts on the state of the Cardinals after that game?
Just, if I'm D-Hop and I'm coming back, I'm like, oh, God, can I be Christian McCaffrey? Can I go somewhere else as well? Like, it's such a mess. You can get excited about the Cardinals because of the two picks and them winning and putting up a lot of scores on the board and DeAndre Hopkins being back. But then it's just that one moment that tells you so much more than the score does. And it's this team is a absolute mess. You've got Kyler, who is seemingly very immature. And to be honest, I kind of thought I was putting all of the problems on Kyler. And then you see him wigging out over Cliff, seemingly yelling and getting upset, overly upset in his ear. And then I don't know if you guys heard his, like, the post game. He was like, Cliff was like, it's just a bunch of Gen Z stuff. They're like, they care about what we look like on television. Like, it's a mess. It is a full blown mess. And I kind of love it.
Yeah. Michael Morgan chimes in with, do you think Kyler yells at this much at his COD friends online? That's called.
He probably says that exact same sentence. That's why it came out of his mouth so easily, is because he just yells that all the time. But I love how messy it is. It's just gross, and I want it to keep on. I don't want Cliff to go anywhere. I want them to ride this out. D-Hop was just like, I'm not married, but this, like, you know, seems like what a marriage would be like.
It's kind of right, by the way.
Yeah.
I wouldn't know. But what's that show, A Marriage Story? What's the one with Adam Driver? And he's
Marriage Story.
Yeah, like, this is Marriage Story NFL. Right. And I'm
which, we know
bored.
how that movie
winning
ended,
Oscars,
though.
People.
Right. It could have been called Divorce Story. And one of those guys makes a lot more than the other. And I don't know. He seems the one that would stick around more. It was kind of funny because as much as Kyler yelled at him to calm, you know, the F down and then continued to scream at him for another 20 seconds, Cliff listened. He was kind of just sitting there being like, okay, thank you. And then Kyler just kept yelling and then walked away. And by the way, the score was 14-6 at that point. If that was Tom Brady doing that, maybe we'd give Tom Brady credit for inspiring the troops because they had their best 20 minutes of the season right after Kyler did that.
I think it is like a marriage, though, because, I mean, Kyler and Cliff have known each other since Kyler Murray was in high school. It's been a long time, and it does remind you kind of like when you're in that breakup phase and you're getting like in fights at like a Chinese restaurant and out on the street. Like, they're all over each other. It's been like weeks in a row where Kyler Murray's sort of nonplussed with the way that Cliff Kingsbury comports himself on the sideline. And that Gen Z comment was like, I like to be emotional, and he's coming in telling me to try to be the cool guy, saying, calm down, keep it chill. But they're in each other's ear and stuff, and it seems to just not quite be working in concert on any level.
The Gen Z comment is condescending. He's calling him immature in that moment.
Getting upbraided by your player is condescending. I mean, that put Cliff in a tough spot. It was a little bit emasculating.
That jumps to mind, and I understand. Now, that would never happen in the 80s or even the 90s or even the beginning of the new century where a player would do that. The dynamic between players and coaches in general is a lot more chill and different than it was like when Bill Parcells was, you know, ruling the world with an iron fist. But still, yeah, it's pretty unusual for the quarterback to very publicly tell the head coach to pipe down in the middle of a primetime game. But, you know, on the other end of it, they moved the ball well for stretches of this game. They did a nice job essentially putting this game away in the second half and never letting New Orleans really get back into it. So I thought that was progress. And on the Saints side of the ball, Mark, you have a team that, and we talked about it in the summer. We said this team probably has the highest ceiling potentially of these kind of fringy contender teams, but also a pretty low floor. And this is one of the most penalized teams in the league. They have the worst turnover differential in the NFL. The defense is underperformed, and all of a sudden Andy Dalton now is looking like Jameis Winston. And at that point, it's like, what's the point? Just play Jameis Winston. Another tough night for the Saints in what's been a tough season.
Yeah, they're disorganized. They're a mess. And when we talked about the floor before the season, we're seeing the floor, because what I thought they would have before they traded away Gardner Johnson was one of the nastiest secondaries in the league. Well, they don't. And their defense in general is simply not the Saints defense that we grew accustomed to over the last couple seasons. And the quarterback situation, I mean, they went into the season with two veteran quarterbacks with overt issues and limitations. And so that's what we're getting now, a dueling banjo job between two quarterbacks with overt situations that are problematic. And Andy Dalton, to me, I mean, that Marco Wilson flip behind him as he's walking away disheveled, it's essentially his Zapruder film.
Louvre.
Right, when we go to the Hall of Fame of like mezzanine-level quarterbacks, that will exist at some point, that will be the tape they show when he's inducted, because it was one of the greatest things I've ever seen in slow motion in my entire life.
That's 2 weeks in a row. Do you guys, was it the Giants cam that went kind of crazy last week and like it was like inception and like turned on an angle? Then we had this shot this week. You know how like at the end of the year, National Geographic will put together like the greatest moments in photography over the past? That's got to be in there. I am voting for it. Dang it.
Do you have a vote? Are you on the committee?
I feel like that will live on.
I think I should be. Let's start a petition.
Now you do with the bangs. It's
Pulitzer
like
Pulitzer Prize. It deserves something. A Mark
It'll
Twain?
Live on for years.
I don't know.
It's Andy Dalton's career in a nutshell, because I know no one wants to hear it, but Dalton played pretty well last night. He had one really bad throw in the red zone where they lost 4 points out of it. You forced it in there. One of the pick sixes was a drop, right? It was a perfect pass that was just dropped wide open. The other one, he got hit as he threw, which, you know, you got to be aware of the pressure, but he got hit as he threw, and the other guy makes an insane one-handed catch. And whether a ball is returned on a like for an interception or not is just completely luck. Whether a guy makes like a one-handed catch is completely luck. And he threw it well. Basically, for the rest of the night, they moved the ball. They had 500 yards. My point is more that quarterback.
He was great, Greg. He was absolutely stunning to observe. I mean,
carry that water, Greggy.
Just stick with it.
For real, though, which part of that argument do you disagree with?
He's going to cost you points with turnovers.
They were missing their top four cornerbacks in this game. They missed seven starters. And Dennis Allen afterwards had such a bad quote saying, like, what's your biggest concern for this team? And he was just like, well, just that my players aren't healthy. And it's just like, Dennis Allen, to me, as a head coach, is just uninspiring. They're so sloppy. You mentioned the penalties and the turnovers and the excuses. And he's right. Like, they are one of the most devastatedly injured teams. And it is worth mentioning, they also lost Bradley Roby in that game. They were down their top two wide receivers and their top three cornerbacks and a couple other starters. Like, that is significant. But Allen's reasons, and like, even after halftime, they asked, all right, what did Andy Dalton need to do different? And I said how two of those were basically just bad luck. One was not on him at all, and the other one happened. And he was just like, oh, he doesn't have to do anything different. Just keep doing the same thing.
Listen,
like,
that was always a thing with Dennis Allen. This was something that I feel was overlooked consistently this summer, that Allen would be a huge downgrade from Sean Payton. I think you're seeing that in both the discipline of the team and the bottom line record. I don't feel like going back and forth with you on this one, Greg, but I don't know why you're making excuses for Dalton here.
I'm just saying he threw dime after dime.
Beautiful passes. He threw an end zone interception. The Isaiah Simmons play was a great play by a former first round pick, but also that ball was fired right in the orbit of a linebacker in the middle of the field.
But he was like hit in the side as he was throwing it. So you have to admit there's a lot of luck going on.
I don't know, to use your logic, if Sam Darnold does the same thing, you're not making excuses for Sam Darnold.
Sam Darnold would not have thrown like 361 and four touchdowns and like graded very well. I'm just saying, like, Dalton.
Oh, he graded well. Okay, now this is adding up. He graded well. Okay.
He did. He did grade well.
I think we need to appreciate the quarterbacks.
He graded well. Like, everything's fine.
I think we need to appreciate more of like the Jameis Winstons that throw like hella touchdowns and hella picks, because that if you are not invested in those teams, that's fun football. Both of those picks last night, we were screaming about. All of the touchdowns, we were screaming about. Unless you're boring and like defense, which I feel like is, I don't know, Mark's vibe. I like this kind of football. It is fun. Fire. It is chaotic. It's exciting. And I want to watch more of it.
You know I noticed on this show a couple times when Rachel's appeared? It was like, if you get into a jam, just send a flaming arrow into Mark's head. That's how you get out of the corner. It's like, that's going to stop working at some point.
Mark, is that Rachel on the sixth floor of the Texas Book Depository?
I believe it is. She's not stacking school books either, I can tell you that.
It's kind of Dan and I's move over the years too. So she knows what it's like to be a co-host.
I just slipped right in. It's
easy. All right. Any other thoughts on the game?
No.
D-Hop does make like the entire difference. Like, I don't think there was anything different in this Cardinals offense other than DeAndre Hopkins was there. That was it. And I think Kyler's willingness to run the last 2 weeks, he picked up some really key first downs early in the game because he's willing to run again. And that's what kept them in it early. But there was really nothing different. It's just like, oh, you got new Hopkins back and that like totally changes your offense, which was
when
nice.
Do we get the Hard Knocks out? Because I am watching the crap out of that.
Good call.
November 7th or 8th or something like that.
Oh, God.
Like they're that. Sneaky a perfect team for this. I am going to watch.
Absolutely perfect. And it's coming at the right time. Like when they always start to film, they're not. I don't think that they'd be starting to film yet, but like, if we got this game on episode one,
that
come
would
on,
usually
out
in,
of the gate.
In season, Hard Knocks isn't typically my jam, but if this season really did devolve into petty soap opera drama between the head coach and quarterback, I'm all in.
If I'm like part of the Cardinals, though, I'm panicking that they're like, we agreed to this because we thought we were going to be good and D-Hop's coming back and everything's like all hunky-dory, and it's not. I'm panicking. I'm calling Mr. HBO himself and asking, can we not do this?
Who is Mr. HBO? Do we know?
I think it's where you're calling their team owner, who's always just like, oh, yeah, sure, we'll do it. How many different like Hard Knocks and All or Nothings have they done?
Oh, it's that time on the Friday Fun Show, working title, where one human gets the floor, and this week it's Mark Sessler. It's about
me.
This is my time to make it about me, but I am going to make it a little bit about everyone. This week I did a QB index that essentially just had a haiku for all 32 starting quarterbacks. But I wanted
nice hook,
to. It was a good hook. I mean, I'm not sure the editors agreed with that, but apparently some readers potentially did. I want to expand that out to make some haikus about some of the people that star on this show. And so here we go.
Wait, before you do that,
yeah.
was there actual pushback from the edit desk?
I would rather not dig too deep into that, but there was some hesitation about the final product might look like.
Well, we also had a couple podcast exclusives, Dan, because there were haikus too hot for NFL.com that we just read on the podcast.
Some had to be reworked. Let's put it that way. Probably true of these as well. All right, we're going to start with a haiku for Dan.
Okay.
We're going to put these up on screen. Kneeling down to pull a stray leaf from his swimming pool. Old tugboat tugs. I want to keep that benign, because if I lose Dan early in this, we're going to be in hot water. So I just wanted to keep that. That's sort of the nice side to Dan. He's home at his house. Let's go to Greg.
Don't forget those line breaks we heard from the listener. You know,
well, they can
crucial.
Read it on screen here, too, but I will. Greg Rosenthal's hit the trifecta at Belmont while dressed up in women's tennis gear.
Beautiful.
I love that. And I do love a nice women's tennis hoodie.
And the tugboat does tug. There is no doubt about that.
That's right. Gravedigger. It wouldn't be so fun to be a real gravedigger. Dead bods in hot June.
That's true.
All right, now...
Wait, do they put the bods in?
I guess. Yeah, I was going to say, like, in the 1600s, you're just tossing in an old corpse, but... usually they're sealed in a cat, but you're right. I'm with you.
Everyone can afford a $4,000 casket, I would imagine.
Right. Some people just put an old mom in the backyard, you know.
Right. Exactly. Now we're gonna
throw her in.
We got Rachel because she's our guest today, so we have one for Rachel.
Scared.
A new sun rises, a new me, smoking tree with Mooch before game day.
Do you do drugs with Steve Mariucci?
I don't smoke trees with Steve Mariucci.
Well, not yet. And our last one.
It's always this Sunday.
This is for Gravedigger's side piece, Jessica.
Whoa. Put some respect on her name. She's not a side piece.
I mean, it's not a side piece. She literally came to London.
They live together.
All right. His live-in mate, Jessica. From the East I hail. Poor Justin has no clue. I'm Russian Mafia. All right, that's it.
I'm into that.
Very good. Yeah, Mark's long-term plan to break up Jessica and Justin adds another element.
We see that,
you
by
guys
the way,
have in-season Hard Knocks? I'm interested in following this storyline.
That's
Mark,
not my
we
plan.
We see the long game you're playing with Jessica. And
it's weird.
We don't approve of it. We've really developed a strong
narrative.
Relationship with Justin. He's a great producer, and you have to understand there's a responsibility that comes with your role to get involved and set the marginalize their relationship for starters. It's just a red flag.
Subscribe.
I mean, I would suggest that you reroute that the whole theory there. If anything, Justin had a chance to knock that down. He willingly published it because I think if anything, the two of them enjoy as much attention as they can possibly get.
You know, I do love, you know what's going to happen. Gravedigger suspiciously silent right now. They do curl up on like a Friday night after the Friday fun show, after everything's been put to bed and they're planting their own trees. They go and sit in front of the fireplace and they'll listen to the show and just like look at each other and give little like knowing smirks and like snuggle in front of a hot fire.
Is that accurate? Yes. Answer for yourself, Gravedigger. We need you here.
100% accurate.
You have a fireplace?
I do have a fireplace. Yeah.
Wow.
Okay, brag.
Wow. All right. Good job, Mark. You nailed it. Let's check back in with the listeners / viewers on the Friday Fun Show. Working title, Mika Lobano. Hey, Mika Lobano over here. Would you rather be a Packers or Broncos fan over the next 10 years? Wow. That's a big one. Packers, history, fun. Go to Lambeau, but it's tough. It's a toughie.
You're making a face, Rachel.
Yeah.
Well, I guess I just don't know. I feel like the Packers' future is more unclear than the Broncos, I guess. I mean, how many more years does Aaron Rodgers have?
Yeah, but maybe that's a good thing. I don't know if I like the clarity that is Russell Wilson guaranteed money the next 3 or 4 years. I'd go Packers just because you mentioned Lambeau, but also the history. Like, there's this idea that the Broncos are this like super well-run organization, but they've had their ups, they've had their downs. It's a new ownership. You have to deal with that. It could be coaches, GMs change. The Packers always seem like they know what they're doing. They'll find a way.
I'm going hard right. pass
I tried
on either
the Cheesehead in London, and those things really retain like sweat. It was soaking wet.
Oh, dude.
And I can't go back to that. I can't go back to that.
So you're saying Sauce Gardner might have like caught some disease from the Packers fan.
There was
the
a
Packers
moment that Sauce was like, ah, and then he kind of like started to like calm down and look around. And I think that was the moment that he was like, this is soaked. And that's coming from a sweaty man.
What else we
he
got?
He was panicked.
Digger. Ronald Bodenham. Oh, Roland. Roland Bodenham. Favorite Bonetta impression, yeah. Cooper Kupp or Mike McDaniel as Napoleon Dynamite?
Mike McDaniel was just layered. I had so many influences, Napoleon Dynamite being one of them, Mark Sessler being another. I think Mike McDaniel.
Plus, Mike McDaniel, now when I watch him talk, I just kind of hear him as Napoleon Dynamite, and there's a lot in there. So I'm going to go.
I couldn't believe that nobody else saw that before. Like, no. It's just.
You opened our eyes.
That's your skill. That's your talent. The way
I'm going
you
Cooper Kupp, though, because I just think that was more like the method. And it was like you had studied the essence of Cooper Kupp and gotten every inflection. And
yeah, he's got a little bit of a fun twang to him, and he's got all
Southern
the facial
boy.
Hair. And
all right, one
ridiculous.
More. Zach Clegg, with all these Jets wins, how come we haven't heard from Keith at all? Well, last week, today's Keith's birthday, actually.
Happy birthday, Keith.
So yeah. My old man has been busy, hung out with his brother, Ed, Uncle Ed, last Sunday and watched the Giants game. Uncle Ed's a big Giants fan, so he had DVR'd the Jets game, so he wasn't able to give any reaction to the Green Bay game in real time. So, Dad, are you here? Here he comes.
Dad. Daddy.
Papa. Here, come over here, Dad. People want to say hello to you. They can't. You can't really hear him, but they just want to see you on the.
He's also been on a wild bender.
We can hear you, though. We can hear you.
Happy birthday,
Keith.
They said happy birthday, Keith.
Oh, thank you very much. This is a great day with Daddy coming here to New York, you know, and going to the Yankee game tomorrow.
Ooh,
I'm looking forward to it. I always like seeing everybody here, you know.
That's Rachel. You haven't met Rachel.
Oh, Rachel.
Yet.
Hi, Rachel. Nice to
Hi.
Meet you.
What are you
Happy
working
birthday.
On outside, Dad, right now? Dad's always working in the front and the backyard.
Just picking up a few things. Just cut the grass this morning. And, you know, that's what I do on my birthday, you know? See, I got a Super
I love
Bowl
it.
Shirt on.
You know? There you go. Super Bowl 49. That was
hey,
one of the
Jets.
Jets.
Like my dad.
The Jets.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're that. Look at this. All right.
Hey, I like that, Rachel. I like that.
All right, Papa.
Okay.
I'll see you in a little bit, all right? That's
oh,
my dad.
The exact same hair.
Yeah,
look at that. Exact same hair.
That was
like
very
my
sweet.
Dad. He only wears free merch from the NFL now. That's exclusively my dad's wardrobe.
All right. So there you go. A little drop in from Keith. So there he is.
You're making your dad do yard work on his birthday. Why don't you go and
I would have.
Why couldn't you have said, let me
I
do that for you?
I absolutely would yes, have. Sir. And I always do when I come home, take care of the lawn. But I was preparing for this show, being a pro, unfortunately. My dad's retired. You know, he has more time than I do right now. You know?
Interesting.
Okay. Let's move to, I always love this part of the show. It is time now for the Greg Rosenthal Week 7 Injury Minute presented by Acrisure. A milkshake for old lady bones.
PJ Walker's back. Sorry. He's starting for the Panthers again. No Darnold or Mayfield this week. Mark Andrews returned to practice. Bad news for Mark Sessler's Browns. So it looks like he will play. Denzel Ward will not play for the Browns. Neither will Wyatt Teller. Jadeveon Clowney did return to practice and looks like he probably will play. J.K. Dobbins will be out for the Ravens on the other hand. Kenny Pickett looks like he's starting. That's not announced at quarterback, but he's cleared the concussion protocol. So has Pat Freiermuth. Logan Wilson, the good Bengals linebacker, is out. Shaq Leonard will not return for the Colts this week, which is bad news. But Jonathan Taylor will play. Christian Watson is out another week for the Packers. We'll see if Sammy Watkins plays. He might come off IR for that game. And that was the Greg Rosenthal Injury Minute presented by Acrisure. What is it again?
You guys aren't.
It's milkshake for old lady bones.
Milkshake.
They do sponsor us.
Nobody knows for sure. All right. Time now before we say goodbye. Week 7 predictions. Let's go over the week 6 predictions first. Mark, non-QB, will score 5 TDs. Also, separate wager, Titans players or prediction get into a whole bunch of trouble over bye week. That's a double X, I believe.
Yeah, there's no evidence of the Titans players getting in trouble. We don't know for sure, but nothing to suggest.
And so moving you get right 0-2. He gets 0-2.
Yeah, and moving right along from double X to triple X, my prediction was that Mark celebrates in a unique Cecilarian way for his birthday. And, you know, we don't have confirmation on this, but I got a feeling Mark had a good time last weekend.
I'd give you at least half a win on that, if not a full win.
I'll take the full win.
Okay.
Thanks. You left it open. I'll take it. Greg, the Eagles D ends the Cooper Rush hype with 2 turnovers.
Ooh, they got it.
Did you, though?
I said Greg 2 Digger? Or more.
Cooper Rush turns the ball over twice, and the hype train ends. The Eagles defense ends it with a thud with a couple turnovers.
Ooh, we got to give you the X because he turned it over 3 times. Sorry, buddy.
I mean, I think anyone listening can know where to get their accurate predictions from.
Mark, go ahead, Mark. You decide on that one. Is that an X or a check mark?
That's an X.
Yeah, big time. All right, and finally, Claybound said the Browns win, and Chubb has 3 TDs. And we know right now with the Browns, that ain't happening. All right, now on to the Week 7 predictions. You want to get us going on this one, Bonetta?
My Week 7 bold prediction, the first one would be if I threw a party and invited all 3 of you guys, none of you would show up.
Oh.
That's my first one. Oh. I'm just kidding.
Rachel, you know... as a family man on the other side of the city, that was a big ask, and I made that clear to you.
It's fine. Michael Irvin showed up, but
I went
fine.
Out of my
I had
way
a trip
to
down
tell
to
you.
San Diego. I was literally,
you guys. Yeah,
literally
I'm
out
kidding.
Of town. So I think my
I will
excuse
continue
is the
to
best.
Invite you guys to things, and it's okay if you guys.
I don't know what Mark was doing, but I was in San Diego. I mean, that was a
I'm
whole
really just
separate.
Greg. That is I'm unnecessary. Like to just the way Greg operates in general is unnecessary.
Rachel,
I just wanted to pay you guys
happy birthday to you as well, Rachel.
Yeah,
thank you. My Week 7 bold prediction, maybe this is a little bit lame, but I know that going into this week, everyone's like, oh, these games. I actually think this is going to be one of the more exciting weekends. And I was saying this even before Christian McCaffrey joined the 49ers. We got Chiefs 49ers, which is interesting. Chargers, Seahawks, I find interesting. The Seahawks have been putting up points. Geno, their defense is awful. I feel like that's going to be a sling fest. Colts, Titans, shout out Graver. I feel like that might be fun. And I think that next week we're going to be like, 49ers, Jimmy G. Okay.
You
I'm
love Jimmy
in.
G. I
spicy
feel like that's
saucy.
Your team.
I do. Those are my predictions. This week's going to be good. It's going to be fun.
All right, Greggy.
Yeah, it was as if Andy Dalton like heard a message from the league office. Increase points. And he's just a good company man. And that's what he did. It's coming. There week 7. My prediction is that Bill Belichick will break out a play or a move, something directly inspired by George Halas in this win over the Bears. Most likely, it'll be like running a T formation, like the 1930s offense that George Halas broke out to help change the NFL. But he'll do something as a historical nod to George Halas during this game as he passes him, because that's just the type of guy.
No, I like that.
Bill
that's
Belichick.
A good one. And you know what? When it's 30-6 in the third quarter, he'll have, you know, some wiggle room to play with on that one.
Right. It's like that drop quick kick he had Doug Flutie do in Doug Flutie's last game, I believe it was like 15 years ago. He'll do something fun.
How about you, Marky?
All right. It's a two-parter.
Why?
Both of these things
Why?
Have
it's
happened.
One, we each have one. We each have one.
Just makes
well,
the
because
show longer.
I am telling you, I have two visions, two locks. These are absolute locks. Both of these things have occurred in NFL history. We were at a game where this occurred. A wide-ranging power outage occurs at one NFL stadium and causes a massive disruption, delay. All right? We saw the Super Bowl. It can happen again. Part B, or number two.
Box.
A player is involved in a major mishap involving the team bus. That again causes like issues where like will player X be there by kickoff?
Like he gets run over by the bus?
No, I would say more like there was a, I think it was Adrian Peterson like a decade plus ago, like missed the team bus and they were unsure if he'd get there by kickoff. And it caused all these like pregame, you know, issues and consternation. So something of that nature, I guarantee will occur.
But why do you want chaos and pain and these things to happen? Why do you want to root for, why is that always what comes up?
I don't think anyone is getting, there's no pain, no one's getting hurt here. Like a power outage could be peaceful. It was at the Super Bowl. And the player just simply, there's a mishap involving the bus.
I can answer that question, Greg. Like Alfred said in The Dark Knight, some people just want to watch the world burn. My prediction is, and Rachel is already hinting at it, although I did not know what athletic wear she would have on today. Rachel on Bench with Bonetta, her podcast, which everybody should check out, has been searching for a new team. She settled on the Chargers, and I stress settled. And I told her after I pitched the Jets to her in April, you got to give the Jets a look. They are the team to get behind. They are building a new core. There's a lot of excitement. This could be the team. She laughed at me. She eliminated the Jets in August. And I told Rachel on her show this week in a message, no hard feelings. The door's still open. And after the Jets pants the Broncos, I'm predicting Rachel on her podcast this week. She does it. She announces that the Jets are a new favorite team.
I'm fully jumping ship. Wow, that is bold.
Wow, you're predicting she announces her Jets fandom.
Maybe
wow.
Even bolder than a mishap on a bus.
Right. Are you at all worried, Dan, that Elijah Moore, who's now going to be inactive for this game because he requested a trade, is the thing that turns this into a Jets season?
You could stop with that negative energy, Patriots fan, but I'm not happy with the situation. I have to tell you, like, Elijah Moore's got to pipe down a little bit there. Everything's going well for the team, and they're still transitioning with Zach Wilson after all the issues. Like, wait it out and kind of be a pro. But I understand the frustration, but I don't like that it's come to this in a trade demand for a second-year player. Hopefully cooler heads prevail, and I like at this point the way the Jets have handled it, which is they sent him home. They said, you're not playing this week, but we don't want to trade you, and we're not going to trade you, and I hope cooler heads prevail. But no, Greg, I didn't like that. That's been a bummer.
It could be a big Keith Hands this weekend because Denzel Mims steps in for the malcontent.
Well, that would be a big
Moore.
Bob Bates DDS.
Oh, that's
weekend.
Right. I'm mixing up dads. That may,
the Baylor Bear sense. Man. All right. Good stuff. Rachel, you've said it all. I had that Frank Sinatra poster in my apartment in Hoboken, New Jersey, back in the mid-aughts. It's a beautiful one.
He looks hot in that photo, let's be honest here.
He really does. He really does.
Anything you want to say, Rach, before we say goodbye?
Taylor Swift is not that interesting.
The trailer thing they showed during Thursday Night Football was such a bummer. That was such a letdown. What even was that? It was not what I was expecting.
What a bomb. What a bomb from Bonetta.
She's
bombed with Bonetta.
I love it.
Interesting.
I heartily disagree, and I'd love to maybe come on your podcast to discuss it. I am.
Are you going to listen to the album? Did it come out last night? Did it come out today?
It came out at midnight, Rach. It's called Midnight. Adoy.
What, were you and Keith up at midnight listening to it?
Well, yeah, you know it. Sitting in front of the fire like Gravedigger and Jessica. Yes. All right, that's enough. We've had our fun, and now the fun has ended. Everyone,
thanks for having me, guys.
It's over. Have a great weekend, Rachel. Please throw another party when the season's over, and I promise I'll be there.
Lucky.
And thank you to everybody for watching along and listening, and enjoy the football on Sunday and Monday, and we'll see ya come the flagship show. Heed the call.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Calling all men. When was the last time you had a really good cry? A recent survey found that women cry on average 5 times a month, while men cry on average only once a month. Studies have shown that crying can support your mental, your physical, and your emotional health. I'm Radhi Devlukia, and on my podcast, A Really Good Cry, we embrace the real, the messy, and the beautiful. Listen to A Really Good Cry on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.